One time, a group of pastors were talking with each other about many things and were having some arguments with each other. They were discussing which was more important, Easter or Good Friday. I bet none of you sitting out in this congregation today have ever had an argument like that. But pastors do that kind of thing. So this group was arguing about which was more important, Easter or Good Friday. And finally, one particular pastor became emotional and he said simply, "Good Friday. Good Friday is the most beautiful day for me. Every day is a Good Friday for me." And the pastors asked, "Why do you say that?" And the pastor, whose name was Lee, told this story. He had been in the Korean War, where he was a CIA agent. Lee and a group of CIA agents had been flown up into North Korea and had been dropped behind enemy lines. They went secretly into North Korea, blew up some ammunition dumps, made a raid on a secret installation, and after that, they were coming back to their point of pickup. They were going to rendezvous and be flown back to their ship. But on the way back, Lee made a mistake and got separated from the other CIA agents. In the telling of the story, he made it clear that he had made this mistake, that it was his own dumb fault. And then things turned ugly. Lee got caught in sniper fire. He jumped behind a rock, and there were a group of enemy soldiers up above him, shooting at him below as he was hiding behind this large rock. The bullets were pecking against this rock and making the rock smaller, and every time a flick of the rock would come off and hit him in the back from one of those bullets, Lee thought that he was dead. He would roll over in a panic, thinking they had been shot in the back. It was petrifying, and his mouth was dry, he was dehydrated, and suddenly his fellow agents came back to rescue him. It was like the cavalry had come back in those Old West movies. The cavalry came back to save him and to cover up his mistake. But then, six of his fellow agents, his good friends, were killed by the snipers because of the mistake that Lee had made. As he told this story, he said, "Yes, I have carried this guilt with me for a long time now. And Good Friday will always be the most important day for me, because Good Friday was the day that God came down to die for us, to pay for the enormous mistakes we have made. I will always preach a Good Friday sermon, because every sermon for me," said Lee, "is about the cross, that God came to die for us in our mess. I believe that with my whole heart," Lee said. What a powerful story to answer the question that many of us have on Good Friday. Why did Jesus have to die? We wish so much there could have been some other solution to the pitiful way humanity had messed up God's creation, as well as humanity's relationship with a loving God. As a pastor who thinks about these kinds of things, I say that God didn't kill Jesus. God allowed Jesus' death to take place. God allowed the events to unfold. Clearly, Jesus could be sure of himself because he was in complete connection to God. He may not have been too pleased with what was happening, but he stood true in the face of ridicule and hatred. You just heard for yourself that religious leaders and Roman kingpins challenged Jesus, but he responded in a confident way, even to the extent of using silence, powerful silence. Very likely, we've all been pretty close to death. Either at the bedside of a loved one at home or in the hospital. On a day like today, we think about death. We sit with it. We get uncomfortable. We want it to be over. Good Friday can be hard because it reminds us of our mortality. We will all die, just like Jesus died. Not in the horrible way of a crucifixion, very likely, which, by the way, was a pretty common way that criminals died in Jesus' day. But die we will someday. So as some say, everyone sings, "O come all ye faithful," at Christmas. Everyone likes to sing that. But only the truly faithful show up on Good Friday. That is a cultural difference between Christmas and Good Friday. So we're pretty much on our own today. The faithful around the world join us in singing, "O Sacred Head, Now Wounded." We live in a culture that doesn't deal very well with death. I recall my good friend and mentor, David Evans, with whom I interned when I was in seminary. David and I have been friends ever since. He grew up in a small town in East Texas. And in that small town, when anyone ever died, everyone in the town showed up for the funeral. If it was at the Baptist church, they all went to the Baptist church. If it was at the Presbyterian church, they all went to the Presbyterian church. If it was at the funeral home, they all went to the funeral home. And the men and the boys of the town gathered at the cemetery, and they dug the grave together. David said he always understood about death because he had been so close to it in this town, in this village, in this loving place where people surrounded one another when someone died. It's not like the customs that we have today, where we cover everything up with AstroTurf and kind of sanitize it at a funeral. I'm not condemning the practice, but I am saying it does sanitize death. That's why even in our own congregation and others, so few attend this service. There's no judgment on my part. It's the reality of how difficult facing death is and why it is so hard to worship on Good Friday. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable." Today, we stand with all the faithful of every time and place who forever love Jesus Christ with a vulnerable love. Maybe this is where we enter the Good Friday drama, and maybe this is where we take our stand, not betraying Jesus, not denying him, not judging him, not condemning him, not rejecting him, not mocking him, not flogging him, not killing him. But standing there at the foot of the cross with others who love him, putting our arms around each other for comfort and strength. One of the outstanding experiences of my mother's recent trip to North Carolina was the visit to Kitty Hawk, where the Wright brothers built and flew the first airplane. The park ranger told the story of how a woman came out of the crowd and ran to the first boulder, commemorating where the first flight had taken off. There's a 64-foot track that this airplane tracked on to take off, and there's this big boulder right where the plane took off. This woman had come running out of the crowd, and she dropped to her knees at the base of this boulder, and people worried that something was wrong with her. So someone went over to check on her and found her lovingly burying her son's flight wings. He had been struck down in the war in Iraq and had died. When that mother is standing with her arms around family, remembering her son, she will be able to say when they ask her what happened, that she stood at the foot of this boulder and buried his wings. When we are asked later, as the Christian family, why Jesus died and what happened, we can say we were standing at the foot of the cross. Today, we remember there's no mistake that Jesus hasn't covered in his death. Not one. No mistake at all. To be vulnerable is to love. Jesus must have loved in a way we can hardly imagine. But today, we will try. Amen.